Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, there's a statue in the vestibule of St. Anthony of the Lake Parish out in Pewaukee. It's really a magnificent piece of art. It's in bronze. It's a life-size statue of Christ sitting on the edge of the boat, with his feet firmly planted on the shore. So he's not inside the boat, but on the edge of the boat. And it's, as I say, life-size in bronze. It's just gorgeous. And it's right in the vestibule. So as you come from the parking lot, you walk in. On the one hand, on the right hand, is the church facility, the worship space. On the other hand are all the classrooms and kitchens and halls for parish gatherings. You have to pass that statue in order to get into the parish facility. It's a gorgeous statue. And as I say, it's life-size, seated, Christ seated, so that little kids, they all climb up and sit in the lap of this statue. And it's not only the little kids who are delighted with this, but also the grandparents, because they inevitably have a camera to take a picture of these little kids climbing into the lap. It's a very graphic reminder, at least for me every time I see it, that the work of the church is first and foremost bringing people into the mystery of God. Not getting new members, not getting new crew members, but bringing people into the mystery of the kingdom of God. That God is at work in everything. Whether it's in the desperate migration of people from Syria through Turkey and into Europe, and people welcoming them, that God is at work in that process. That in our elections here in the country, sorting out the big issues from the petty squabbles, that God is at work in that effort on everyone's part. That God is at work when there's so much suffering in refugee camps and people trying to help. That God is at work in the African nations where so much violence is in existence, but there's also Doctors Without Borders that are out there, you know, trying to respond to that. That single figure of Jesus welcoming people into the boat, not just into the boat, but into the work of God, is just a very powerful figure. If you're out in that area, I recommend you stop and look and be moved, I think, even as I was. So that's one thing that came to mind when I sat with this gospel in my lap. The other is a reminder of how often over the years, when I was a kid, living down in Racine, south of the city, about a block from Lake Michigan, my father would come home on a Friday night in summer and say, "Why don't we go fishing in the morning?" And so 4 o'clock in the morning, off we go. And the mystery of it all was that sometimes we'd go out, and sometimes from 4 to 8 in the morning, we'd have a great catch of jumbo perch. And we'd come home with 100 or 200 of these 12-inch, 13-inch, 14-inch perch. Just wonderful. And we didn't even mind the job of cleaning them because it was just part of the whole experience. But sometimes we would go out there and sit for 4 hours. You know, same boat, same motor, same place along the rocks, the breakwater there, and not one single nibble. Not one single thing. Nothing. So when I pick up the gospel, I remember some of those things. Peter saying, "You know, we worked all night and there was nothing." That realization comes close to the point of all three readings. Human inadequacy. The pervasive sense of sin suddenly experienced by Isaiah in the temple. Not just generic sin, but sin of the speech. Unclean lips. Unclean people. speaking words crafted to make the speaker sound good, look good, feel good, as if speaking made the person more generous or more noble or more courageous or whatever. Isaiah recognizing that it was not supposed to be all about himself, and feeling the need for purification. But also the realization of Paul as he wrote to the Corinthians, listing the basic issues of the gospel, the proclamation, but then acknowledging that he himself had been a very determined persecutor, that he was rigorously opposed to what he now believed in with all his heart and all his life. He'd been an opponent. And suddenly, in a flash of light, he said he saw everything differently. And he felt his limitations profoundly. And Peter in the boat, suddenly confronted, not by just a mess of fish, but confronted by a God willing and wanting to use him, of all people, to do great things. Him of all people. We all have skills and talents. I mean, Isaiah was a great teacher. We fathom that. He was very respected. Saul, later known as Paul, had knowledge of the Jewish theology and history and practice that was remarkable. They brought him in to be a teacher. Peter, really good at fishing. We all have talents. But all our talents are clearly inadequate for the job of transforming the world. And that's the purpose of the church. I keep saying that to myself and to every people around me. You know, the purpose of the church in Christ is to transform the world. And that's what baptism is all about. Being sent to transform the world. But we're clearly inadequate for that job. And yet, God is willing to use us, who gave the gifts in the first place, for purposes beyond our wildest dreams. God is willing and able to use us. And then, you know, my conclusion in the course of the week was, surprised me. It surprised myself. Because, for some odd reason, I realized that I really like to do things for myself. I drive my own car. I carry my own suitcase. If somebody says at the parish store, can I help you? I say, no, I can take care of this myself. I carry my own suitcase. I want to do that. Make my own supper. I can do it. But there's a certain point in life, and it's not just when one ages, but all the way through life, we have to come to the point of saying, you know what? Yes, I can do it, but I need others. That maybe I can do it better with somebody else and not just by myself. The recognition that we all need help more than we realize, and that God is right there willing to help us do what God wants us to do, not just what we want to do. God is more than willing to do God's part if we let him. And I think that's the message of these readings. And on the edge of Lent, I thought to myself, maybe it isn't about what I choose to do during Lent, but what I allow other people to do for me and with me. Maybe that would be a Lenten resolution that would be much harder than giving up desserts for any one of us. So there, the readings, they're wonderfully rich, they're confronting, they're humbling. They're powerful. They're transforming in ways we don't expect.